When I went singing in South America, I caught bronchitis. And the coughing made me miserable. So I remember waking up one morning in Bogota, Colombia, not having much sleep, feeling very homesick. And it's maybe the first time and the worst time that I felt that homesick. You know, every year around February or January, the news would have something to say about hundreds and thousands of people held up in train stations in China, because these are the people trying to make it home for Chinese New Year. So it's a very emotional time for them, especially if work had kept them away for a few years. One time, my friend Barry invited some of his neighborhood friends over for tea. And as he was sort of carrying cookies around, he overheard one of the ladies say in Mandarin to the people she was with, "Coming to this house makes me feel like going back to the village home for New Year's." And she said this with a bit of homesickness, sitting in Canada with her parents and probably that house long gone. Frederick Buechner says the word longing comes from the same root as the word long, in the sense of length in either time or space, and also the word belong, so that in its full richness, to long suggests to yearn for a long time for something that is a long way off and something that we feel we belong to, that belongs to us. That's the essence of the Psalm 84. It's a homesick psalm for God and his people. Because for the ancient Jewish people, there were some worship rituals that could only be done at the temple. And the poet is not describing an idea in his head, but an ache in his heart. A hunger or thirst that is felt in the body, like me looking at the dark circles under my eyes in Bogota, like Psalm 42, that describes longing for God like a dehydrated deer looking for water. Three times a year, the ancient Jewish people would pilgrimage to the temple to worship God. And after a long journey and going through elaborate cleansing rituals, the devout would make this trek every year, because God used to keep his distance, staying away in the temple, away from the spiritual contamination in the world. And God did this for their protection and survival, because God's presence is programmed to nuke spiritual contamination and whatever was carrying it, which would be dangerous if the people hadn't cleaned themselves properly before meeting God. "How lovely your dwelling place," the poet says. The way a husband says he really misses his wife at home. That's how much the poet misses God as he's making his way to the temple. And he finds himself feeling a bit jealous, thinking about the sparrows that nest in the cracks between the stones of the temple wall. "How lucky that bird," he says, "who gets to live there so close to God when he lives someplace far away." In verse 6, the Valley of Baca is not a place anyone has identified, but Baca means weeping in Hebrew. So probably a very dramatic way to describe his emotions as he makes his way home to God, that he's weeping the whole way. He says to God, "One day in your court is better than 1,000 elsewhere." Of course, not because of the building, but because God is there. God is his emotional safety, his sun and his shield, he says. And being far from God feels empty and unsafe. What does your relationship with God feel like to you? Do you feel what the poet is describing? Is God someone you feel safe with, that you know him well enough to miss him with that kind of longing, that kind of emotion and intensity? Now, the poet doesn't tell us what's going on in his life to make him have all this emotion as he trekked to the temple. But maybe we have been in his shoes. that we find ourselves in some kind of deep trouble, and we find ourselves reaching for God from the pits of our stomachs. Nobody wants troubles. But one thing that does happen when we struggle is that we have a reason to lean into God and to discover how God is there for us. Russ Taft, the gospel singer, says, in the loneliest nights of his life as a kid growing up in a painful home, he would go by himself and sit in the dark in the church because he heard people say in church that Jesus was a friend to people. Eugene Peterson says, the language of prayer is forged in the crucible of trouble. The human condition teeters on the edge of disaster. Human beings are in trouble most of the time. Those who don't know they're in trouble are in the worst trouble. Prayer is the language of the people who are in trouble and know it, and who believe or hope that God can get them out of it. So right now, lots of Jewish people are very homesick for the temple because it's not there anymore. In 70 AD, the Romans destroyed it in a fit of rage as a punishment for having mounting one too many rebellion against the empire. So Jewish people all over the world have been gathering in synagogues, which is kind of like a community center of learning, but they have not been able to do the things that could only be done at the temple. So many of them are praying for a new temple to be able to build one. The problem is that there's a Muslim mosque there right now. It was built in 1,300 years ago, and they have no plans to move. Many of the first Christians were Jewish people who did all the temple things. And one of the things they understood was that when Jesus died and rose from the dead, Jesus neutralized the spiritual contamination in the world so that God now roams free in the world everywhere. And because Jesus left us with God, the Spirit, in the world, we can now encounter God anywhere. And Christians carry God's presence as a church when we meet together on Sunday, like now, and into the world when we scatter on the weekdays. So God, it's never too far away. Now, although God is everywhere, feeling God's presence everywhere, it's more complicated. We don't have an organ to feel God with the way we have skin to feel wind or touch from a friend. How we feel God is a mysterious thing. Sometimes we initiate it, sometimes God initiates us. Much like if you ever watch a baby trying to catch her mother's eyes, or her mom trying to get the baby's attention, and then there's that magical moment when their eyes meet. I have felt God very near to me, and I have felt God very distant when I feel like I can't seem to get his attention. But it's never actually because God is far, because he promises to give us unlimited access and attention and love. The problem, usually, it's on our end. I spent 2 summers working at the airport in the engineering department. One day I was out and about, and I needed to drive across a runway. So I stopped at the edge, and I radioed the tower for permission to cross, because that's what you do. I radioed, and I heard nothing back. So I radioed again, and I waited and waited and waited, and I was getting very nervous, especially when I looked in the rearview mirror, and I saw a 747 coming up fast behind me. And then I looked, and I saw the pilot with his head and arms stuck out the window, frantically shooing me off to the side. So I had to quickly pull my car off the taxiway and onto the grass. Shortly after the 747 wing passed over my head, an entire fleet of security vehicles came racing towards me, you know, like they do in the movies after a plane crash. It was very scary. It turned out my radio died. It stopped receiving at some point, and the pilot shooing me off had been listening to the tower yelling into the radio trying to get me to move out of the way. The problem was on my end. You know how cell phones sometimes run into dead zones? There are things we do that can land us in dead zones when it comes to experiencing God, that we can end up with a spiritual radio problem. Sometimes it's simply that our lives are too busy, too noisy, or we're too tired and too distracted. And our smartphones are one huge attention hog. The scientists are discovering that it is actually very bad for our mental health and relationships, the cell phones, that we can be addicted to our phones the way we do to substances. And we end up with a problem called empathy deficit disorder. We become so into ourselves, so focused on ourselves, that we stop seeing, hearing, or caring about other people. So, like cell phones in dead zones, sometimes we just need to adjust our positions, and we might get some bars. So personally, I find a hike in the woods with a friend to soak in the wonder of God's creation and catching up with a buddy, it's a pretty good fix for empathy deficit. I notice there's also now a thing called dopamine fasts, which is a fancy way of saying no phones for a period of time. Apparently in New York, people are paying people to take their phones away for a period of time. Sometimes to get close to God again, it's a simple thing. Just create some space in our head and in our schedule to have a conversation with God. We say the most honest thing we can say at that moment to God, and then we listen to Him to say something back. We just sit and wait for it. The first time I felt this really deep sense of longing for God, I was about 16. God felt like a million miles away. I felt lost and desperate. Back then, I wasn't very talkative on the best of days. Hard to imagine, I know. But during that time, I didn't even have the words to say to describe what I was going through. So I did everything I could think of. I read everything I could get my hands on, but nothing helped. I was at a church retreat when, out of desperation, I blurted out to this college guy who was in a Bible study with me. I said, "I think I'm going crazy." And he said, "Well, if you don't talk about it, you just might go crazy," which was more frustrating than helpful. Kind of like probably what Job felt with his friends. Now, I have learned since that they call this sort of experience dark nights of the soul. It's not really that God has gone away, but just a different kind of experience of God's presence. That is not strawberries and cream. So at some point, I ran out of ideas and I just threw up my hands and waited, since there was nothing else to do, like sitting on the side of the runway with no idea what was going on. And I cannot tell you how it got fixed. But after what felt like an eternity, one day, I noticed God felt near again. That moment was kind of like that new lady in New York who lost her sense of smell after getting COVID. And then after many months, she was walking down the sidewalk by her house, and she suddenly realized she was smelling garbage. And she was so happy. Now, it's not the garbage, of course. It's getting back something like her sense of smell that would be very hard to live without. And I cannot imagine living life without knowing that God is in front of me and behind me and to the left and right of me, as that ancient prayer says, and without that, His little voice in my head. I don't know where you are with God at this moment. Maybe you are in a season of dark night. More power to you. Maybe it would encourage you to know that that feeling of homesickness with God is not actually God's absence, but it's just another way to be with God as we wait on Him. Because our faith is never self-help. It's never about doing things to manufacture an experience of God. But it's really always about what God is doing and whether we're paying attention to Him and waiting on Him and whether we hear what He wants to say to us. And whatever way your radio may be acting up, God will fix it. You just have to trust Him through the dark night and let it take its course. He will find a way to get through. It may be dramatic, like security vehicles with flashing lights, or a 747 with a pilot waving madly out his window. Or maybe it's just something pretty and subtle, like sun on your face, or wind on your skin, or the smell of cedar in the woods. Whatever it takes, God will make his presence felt. So take a moment, begin a conversation with God, and Kate Bowler has a prayer. Blessing for when the road is long. God, I could not have imagined that this road could be so long, so hard, so daunting. Here I am, worn out body and soul. Bless are we the weary who must set aside what we're carrying and begin to feel only the weight of our own being. It is enough for now. Let our shoulders sink from around our ears, our breath grow longer and deeper, taking a minute to notice the way our diaphragm rises and falls without us telling it to. Bless are we who cannot go on, not like this, but stand and look and ask, is there a better path? Bless are we at the point of utter stillness, that becomes an empty space for that voice to echo and build and resound until it becomes a place to rest and receive and be made whole. And how blessed are we who are astonished to find that God's strength begins at the very point when ours run out. Amen.